So, okay, tonight I want to just preach a very, 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 very simple message from Ephesians 3:20. It might be that I don't take that long preaching it, but I think that God wants to do something special with us tonight and enlarge our faith and encourage us. And, you know, even through the simplicity of it all, that God would just challenge us and open our eyes to recognise that he wants to do immeasurably more in us and through us and for us. So a very simple message, but I pray, Lord Jesus, yes, right now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be stirring our hearts, enlarging our hearts to receive everything that you have for us in Jesus' name. Tonight we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Kenneth West, who is a Greek scholar, his literal translation of this says this: Now to the one who is able to do beyond all things, superabundantly, beyond and over and above those things that we are asking for ourselves and considering. Or the Amplified Bible says this: "Now to him who, by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Or if we split it up, we can say this: "Now to the one who is able to do beyond that we ask, able to do beyond what we think, able to do beyond all that we ask or think, able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think." Now the scholars tell me that when it gets to Ephesians 3:20, Paul morphs a lot of words together. In other words, he makes up some words, like, you know, sometimes we use that word humongous, don't you know, sort of joining words together, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, that's right, to explain something super and wonderful. And somebody said that he sort of said words like extravagantly, extravagantly, awesomely, awesome, awesomeness, outrageously, outrageous, fantastically, fantastically, amazingly, amazing. God is fan awesome, statistical some, or magnificent, great, more, big, fully. What Paul is trying to do is use words that sort of try to express that God is bigger, greater, more wonderful, able to do more than we can think or ever imagine. And he can't find the words to describe it, so he makes up some. They're a little bit silly, that the translators have difficulty really trying to translate. And really what Paul is getting us to grasp is that, hey, there is so much more that God wants to do. There is so much more that God wants to do in you and through you and for you. You just stand back in awe and wonder and just consider it for a minute and recognize that God wants you to experience more of him than you're experiencing at the minute. He wants you to know more of his miracles and wonders in your life than you could ever imagine or dare to think. There's so much more. And you're just perhaps only experiencing just a little incy wincy bit. Just open your eyes and get to see what's happening. I don't know whether... Oh, I've forgotten to bring them. There's those little plastic glasses that you can get, or paper glasses, and one has a blue lens in, and the other has a red lens in the right. And what you do is you go to the cinema, and without the glasses on, everything looks all blurry and silly and fuzzy. You put these glasses on, and suddenly it's in 3D. And suddenly the picture is leaping out the screen at you. Have anybody experienced that? The
I've got a camera that does it.
You've got a camera that does it. Things are leaping out the screen at you that you almost stand back at. You know, you say, whoa, wow, cool. And it's almost as if, you know, some of us are going to the cinema without our glasses on and not experiencing the full depth of the film, if you like, the, what's playing. Or perhaps another analogy might be that, you know, recognizing that God can do more than you ever thought. You know, you got these mobile phone nows, these mobile phones now, you know, these smartphones. You know, and when you get one, you just use it for ringing people up, don't you? And the more you have it, I didn't realise it could do that. I didn't realise it could do that. And, you know, and for the last 6 months or a year or however long I've had my mobile phone at the moment, I've been tapping texting, you know, and because my finger's big, relatively big to the size of the screen, I often tap the wrong letter and you get the wrong letter and it goes all haywire and you press the delete button and it sometimes particularly if you're tapping a website address in and you get it wrong, it's a bit of a nightmare. Well, do you know what I discovered the other day? I could press a button and I could say BBC News website and it finds it without me having to do it all. I never knew it could do that. And I bet there's things that I've not discovered about my mobile phone or about my computer or about my tablet or whatever, probably things that you've not discovered that your phone can't do, that your phone can do that you don't realise. Oh, never knew it could do that. Oh, this is clever, this, isn't it? Now, just as the way that we have a limited understanding of our gadget, I think we have a limited understanding of our God. Oh, I didn't know God could do that. I didn't know that God was that powerful. I didn't know this was part of what God did. I want you to see tonight that the message that I want to bring is a sort of an enlarging message to sort of get you to recognize that God is more powerful, God is more awesome, God is more wonderful, God is able to do immeasurably beyond what you dare think, ask or imagine. That's where I'm going tonight. Now to him who is able to answer your prayers beyond your wildest dreams. That's what the Living Bible says. Now Martin Lloyd-Jones in his book, I quote from this a little bit later, Unsearchable Riches of Christ, this is a sort of a book of his sermons. Quite difficult to read because he was somebody that spoke in the 1950s and tends to use a lot of technical jargon and what have you. So it's not the easiest thing to read. But I picked out this from what he said. He says, our greatest trouble in the Christian life is our failure to realize that God is not as man. The greatest sin of every Christian and of the Christian church in general is to limit the eternal absolute power of God to the measure of our own minds and concepts and understandings. We put God in a box. We think that we can contain God and this is how God's going to work and this is how God's going to do things and this is how powerful God is, and this is the way that he operates and works. But Solomon, when he built the temple in 1 Kings 8:27, he realized that even though he'd built the temple, that God was too big for the temple. But God will really dwell on earth, says he. The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. In other words, Solomon realized that God was a great big God, that he couldn't contain him in a temple, that he just didn't live in a temple. The heavens and the earth were too small to contain him because he was so great and so marvelous. So, we limit God by our own understanding. We tend to look and think about what God can do from a human perspective. We need to open our minds. We need to have our eyes opened. We have to have our spiritual eyes open. Let's look at a couple of examples. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. Mary was a teenager. I don't know, some of them say 13, 14, 15 years old. Very young girl. Gabriel says, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be called you're going to call him Jesus. He's going to be the saviour of the world. And then, of course, Mary puts on her human hat on, if you like. And she starts thinking, well, hang on a minute. You say I'm going to have a baby? I'm not even married yet. But the angel Gabriel replies, nothing is impossible with God. How can this be, since I'm a virgin? I'm considering the physical reality, I'm not even married. But when we come to prayer, we don't consider the physical reality. We consider our God, for whom nothing is impossible. Let's not limit God by our own understanding. Now, we've got to appreciate that Mary was no pagan. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church venerates her quite a lot because they think that she was sort of unique and sort of very special and sort of very holy. And perhaps we just perhaps need to understand that perhaps she was unique in the sense that she was chosen by God. She knew the Old Testament. She knew the prophecies of the Messiah. She was a good Jewish girl. She was no pagan. She had an angelic visitation. But she still needed reminding that nothing was impossible for God. And if Mary needed reminding in those circumstances, well, hey, perhaps we need reminding tonight as well that nothing is too difficult for God. And so God says in his word, I'm the Lord that heals you. And we say, well, have you read what the doctor's written? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. We limit God by our own understanding. I will supply all your needs, says the word. We say, have you seen my bank account? Have you seen the price of petrol? Have you seen the price of this? Have you seen the price of that? God says, nothing is impossible with me. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary needed to be reminded, so do we. We limit God by our own understanding. So Mary is an example. But then if you think about Abraham and Sarah, you remember Abraham and Sarah, God had promised Abraham, that's right, I got it right way round the first time. God had promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of all nations. That Abraham and Sarah were going to have a child. And you know how the story goes that they were impatient and they didn't really trust God. And Abraham slept with Hagar and Ishmael was born. And then after Ishmael had been born, they have an angelic visitation, don't they? Or a visit from the Trinity. Three men come. And they say that within the next year, you will have a son. And Sarah overheard them. And she laughs. And sometimes we laugh, don't we? We laugh at what God's promises. Oh, that'll never happen. You must be joking. And if we don't say it or articulate it to our friends, we might think it within our own minds, our own hearts. That's never going to happen. And we laugh. But then Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year and Sarah will have a son. We limit God by our own understanding. The promise is for you and your family, is what God says to us. And what do we say? Well, you haven't met so and so. And I want you to think about the people in your family. The people that are off the rails. The people that have thrown things at you because they don't like the fact that you're a Christian. The people that have thrown their own Bibles out the window and said they don't want anything to do with God. And if you mention God again, they don't want to ever speak to you again forever. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. Because the promise is for your family. And there's nothing too difficult for God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't just stop at the troublesome people in your family. Pray for all of them. Pray for your husbands, your wives, your children, your grandchildren, your aunts and your uncles. Because the promise is not just for your close family, it's for all your family. Nothing is too hard for God. And, you know, maybe I, in the notes I've got the illustration of John Newton, you know, who was a fellow that was far away from God, but God met him, slave trader. Perhaps Paul was even thinking about himself. How he was a great persecutor of the Jews, how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, how he didn't want to have anything to do with the Christians, how he wanted to persecute them, and how he wanted to do away with them, and how he wanted to exterminate them. But God's grace was long enough, stretched far enough to even meet his life. I think it's I attribute this quote to Reinhard Bonnke. It's probably it was the first person that I heard him preach it, heard him use this expression, but it's probably not a Reinhard Bonnke expression. It probably goes further back than this. It says, from the guttermost to the uttermost, God will save us. God will save your friend. Hallelujah. Never despair, because nothing is too difficult for God. We limit God by our own understanding through the, you know, we could say that the Holm Valley area was a difficult area. Oh, we're never going to reach this community for the Lord. They're a hard lot in Huddersfield. They're a hard lot in Holmfirth. There's a lot of witches' covens around here, and there's all this that. And you can make up all these excuses why God can't use, can't move in power in this area. But hang on a minute, Jerusalem was difficult, was it not? Jerusalem had already had a well-established religion. The occupying Roman authorities were against them. There was prejudice against them. Can anything good come from Galilee? It was not the place, and they were not the people. Maybe they weren't the people because, you know, if the newspapers, if they had tabloid newspapers in Jerusalem at that day, but if anybody wanted to drag up any dirt about these people, they could easily do it. They could say that Peter was someone that denied Jesus. They could talk about Judas and all that fraud and betrayal and everything like that. So they'd have a good juicy story. Apart from the fact that they believed that Jesus was a criminal. That was the popular verdict at the time. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. In Genesis 18:14, the word hard there is wonderful, miraculous, too marvellous. Is anything too marvellous for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful? Is anything too marvellous, miraculous, wonderful for the Lord? No, it's not. Because God is bigger than you think. God is greater than you think. God is able to move more powerfully than you think. Extend his arm greater than you think. Now I'm sort of preaching this for a number of reasons. A, because I want for us to, as a church, start to have an extended vision about what God wants to do in us, in and through us as a church, buildings and everything like that. Part of my reason for preaching about this. But also for you in your own life. About your family. Yes, God wants to move in your family. About your healing. God wants to move in your healing. God wants to move in your personal circumstances. Beyond your wildest dreams. Now, when we talk about Anna's sister, you know, after 8 years, you know, out of the blue, it was beyond their wildest dreams that the sister would ever come to the Lord. But God is a God who answers our prayers beyond our wildest dreams, beyond what we ever think or imagine. Now to him who is able to do beyond all things, superabundantly beyond, over and over above those things that we're asking for ourselves and considering. A woman once approached the famous preacher G. Campbell Morgan after he spoke and asked, "Do you think we should pray?" She asked, "Do you think we should pray for even the little things in our lives, or just the big things?" In his dignified British manner, he replied, "Madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God?" Nothing's too big for God. You might think it's big, but it's not. God did not make just a single drop of water. He made the oceans of water. God didn't create just one star. God made galaxies. God just didn't make a single kind of bird. God created thousands of kinds of birds. God didn't make a hill. God made the mountains. God didn't make the sun. God made the sunsets and the sunrises. He exceeds all expectations. God is able to do that. What is he able to do in and through your life? What can he do with your heart? With your hands, with your talents, with your gifts? What can he do with your future, with your potential, with your love? What can he do with your challenges, with your weaknesses, with your problems, with your disappointments? God is able to do far more than we ask or think. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. We have Elisha and his servant, and they were at a place called something beginning with H, or is it beginning with G? Anyway, Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the army of the king of Aram. Servant goes out and sees all the enemy soldiers on the hill, and he comes in to Elisha and says, oh no, we're doomed, we're done for, what are we going to do? King Aram and his army have surrounded us, that's it. Elisha very patiently prayed that God would open the servant's eyes. Servant went out again, his spiritual eyes were opened, and he saw not only the army of Aram, but the wonderful armies of the Lord. What we need is our eyes opening to understand really what God can do. God is not content. I think God looks down at us and says, "Oh, don't just pray for that little thing. Pray for more. Open my spiritual eyes to the wonderful, awesome, miraculous things you want to do in my life and through me. Don't allow my understanding to limit you." Billy Graham said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayers we have never prayed." Heaven is full of answers to prayers. So God is waiting to answer our prayers, but he's waiting for us to pray them in the first place. And we're only asking for little tingy things. He wants us to pray for big things. Open my eyes, Lord. My brother, as a teenager, he went out with this girl called Myra. All right, I won't mention her surname in case this gets around on the internet and she's still alive and what have you. And she had a mother, and she was one of these sort of la-di-da people, and very polite. Everything had to have a proper etiquette. And whenever she was asked, if anybody was to ask her, "Now Ben Myra, what would you like for Christmas?" And this was, think about this, this was the 1970s, 1980s, so this is not the kind of reply to give in the 1980s. "Myra, what would you like for Christmas?" And her parents, her mother told her that she was always to politely say, "I'd like an orange, please." You know, because, you know, don't ask for anything big. Be polite, just ask for something small. And I think there's a little bit of mentality in us sometimes. We then ask for something big in case we don't get it. So we just ask for something small. God doesn't want us to ask for something small. He wants to ask for something big. You know, I was thinking about the as an application for us as a church. you know, I was thinking about this building. And I was thinking about, well, once all the money's been spent, we won't have enough money for chairs. Or PA, you know, we'll have to have garden chairs, or we'll have to borrow some chairs from somewhere else, and what have you. And I was going through all this, that and the other, and painting will have to wait for a couple of years until we have some more money to do this. Just, you know, I was doing this message together, and I thought to myself, well, God, not only do you want us to ask for that building, but if you're going to supply us with the building, surely you're going to supply us with the chairs as well. And if you're going to supply us with a nice building, I'm sure you're going to supply us with some nice chairs. Not that garden chairs aren't very nice, don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying? Why have a cheap PA? Does God want us to have a cheap PA that don't work? Is not powerful enough? No. God wants to answer our prayers beyond our wildest dreams. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Psalm 81:10. In other words, open your mouth in prayer and I'll answer. Philip Brooks said, pray the largest prayers. You can't think a prayer so large that God in answering it will not wish you had made it larger. John Newton. This is quoting from Martin Lloyd's Jones book, and I'll finish with this. John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, he wrote another hymn. He said, thou art coming to a king, this is the verse of a hymn, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. And then Martin Lloyd Jones says this, bring your most daring petitions, bring your most impossible requests, add others to them. Let the whole church join together in their wildest desires and demands. There is no danger of exceeding the limit, for his grace and power are such, never can ask too much. His power is beyond all that we can ever ask or imagine. So, what are you going to pray? You think about your situation. What would you like to see happen in your life? Maybe there's a physical need that you would like to see. Well, just don't pray for a little. Just ask God. When you think about your family and salvation, yes. Don't say, oh, that's never going to happen. Ask God. Dare to believe what you believe is impossible. Because nothing is impossible with God. What's your need? What is the biggest prayer that you would like to see God answer? Add to that, and it will still not be big for God. So in this moment of conclusion, close your eyes and think now what your biggest prayer is. What's the biggest thing that you'd like to see God do in your life, in the lives of your family, in the lives of your friends, in your body? The biggest prayer that you'd like to see God answer in the church, what is it? Well, let's pray it. Let's dare to pray it. And as we dare to pray it, because God will answer beyond what we think or imagine, that prayer will be answered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that tonight as we stand here, as we sit here together as your church, you want to answer our prayers, not just a little bit, but beyond what we ever believe or dare to think or imagine. And Father, may we not say our health is impossible for you to move in. Let us not limit what you can do by what the doctors have already said, because nothing is impossible for you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I agree, we agree with those people in this room now that are just seeking complete healing in Jesus' name in their lives. Not just settling just for a comfort of an ache and pain, but complete healing of the cause of that symptom in Jesus' name. And Father, we stand in agreement with those that are asking for members of their family to come to full salvation. Father, I thank you that nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, Father, we stand together in believing for sons, for daughters, for mothers, for fathers, for grandchildren, for those that seem far off. Father, I thank you that you are able to do more than we dare think. And Lord, together as a congregation, we dare to say to you, thank you, Lord, for that building that you have for us. Lord, provide the money, provide them every penny that we need, provide every penny that we need to equip it well, and may it be a glory to your name in this place. And may many, many, many people beyond our wildest dreams come to salvation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, to see more of what you want to do. May we not look through physical eyes, men's eyes, but may we get your eyes of faith. Thank you, Lord. We give glory to your name. Amen. 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 Amen.